Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Everybody, to today's show. My name is Mark Kohler. Excited to be here with you. This is already going to be one of our top shows of the year. I can guarantee it. It was the last 2 years running. This is the regular spring Where Do I Buy Rentals This Year show. And for many of our clients around the country, this is a hot topic. Trying to find the right place for a rental property is absolutely critical in our investment and wealth-building lives. So that's what this show's about today. So welcome. I'm Mark Kohler, your host. We're talking about building wealth, saving taxes, making money, better living the dream so we can do what we love doing in the evenings and weekends and maybe a day off once in a while, if that's possible, as entrepreneurs. As you know, it's tough. So I'm your host. Again, a CPA attorney, small business owner myself, family man, and surfer on the weekends when I can find some time. And just grateful to be here with you. This is one of my funnest times of the week. I love being on the show. Regularly we have Lisa Owens in the studio. Today we have Liz Phillips. She's covering for Lisa, who's on vacation. She'll be taking any of your calls if you have a question during the show. Today is not the open forum. I've got some experts coming on the show that will, I'm most certainly, wow you. We'll have them join us here a little bit later. But until then, we're going to go with our typical format, and I hope for those that are new listeners here, we're going to blow you away. We hope to have you back. So, gosh, I just want to just chat with you, just talk, you know, just kind of have a little Kohler moment here on the show with you. I was just blown away with last week's show. I don't know if many of you have had a chance to listen to it yet, but I didn't even get to interview Jack Reacher. I got to interview Jack Reacher's attorney. It was nuts. It was such a good show. Now, for those of you that have watched the Tom Cruise movie, Jack Reacher, and maybe even read the books based on the famous series of novels, there's, you know, this guy that lives off the grid and no one can ever find him unless he wants to be found, and he's out helping people, you know, yada, yada. Well, J.J. Luna, author of the book, How to Be Invisible and How to Disappear, and a variety of books, is a privacy expert around the country, and we had his attorney on the show last week. Just a phenomenal interview on how to increase your privacy. So if you haven't had a chance, please check out that show. Big newsletter today. Oh, my word. I was working all night last night on the newsletter with my team, trying to put together an incredible newsletter with all sorts of topics and videos and some artwork and icons and images and blog articles. Matt Sorensen and I were up all night writing some new content for the newsletter. So, I believe Matt will be joining us here shortly. So I'm excited to have him on the show, a regular guest. Matt Sorensen, partner at KKOS Lawyers, running the Phoenix office. He wrote an article today titled "Managing a Rental Property Owned by Your Self-Directed IRA." And there's a terrible typo in this. It's maybe there's some irony. I don't know if Matt noticed this in the newsletter. I will. I'm the guilty as charged individual hitting send on this. But it's a property owned by your self-directed IRS. So maybe the IRS does own your self-directed IRA to some degree. But that's a self-directed IRA. I think everybody knows the gist there. Unless you're looking closely, it's one of those words you kind of already finish in your mind so you don't notice it. But Matt Sorensen, author of the book, The Self-Directed IRA Handbook, he'll be out here in a moment. We'll chat with him. We tried to write our articles today around rental property. This is a rental property show today. So I'm going to share a couple tax tips on the rental property. I want to share a few thoughts from some conversations I had with clients just this morning. And I'm sure Matt will be sharing a tip related to rental real estate. And we're going to be, of course, closer to the bottom of the hour, having our guests, our special experts, come on and talk about their hot areas and cold areas of the country of where we should be buying rentals or staying away from it. A couple extra articles in there. I wrote one on protecting yourself from your rental, and what the good asset protection tips are. And it's a lot more than just setting up an LLC. Being a good property owner, a good property manager is. And so there's a, I thought I put together 5 points, 5 ways to protect yourself from your rental. And I thought they were kind of good. So please check those out. Finally, I was able to get an article out on QuickBooks. Woo! QuickBooks, right? You guys know I'm pounding the drum. But the video series, we for our clients, we have some special pricing on the new video series for QuickBooks, 18 little videos on how to learn QuickBooks and run it in your small business. Incredible. Getting great feedback. It's a lot of fun. We have 4 days left for special pricing, $200 for clients, and you have unlimited access to these videos online. And I'm going to be shooting additional videos in the weeks to come, months to come, on how to use neat receipts in QuickBooks, how to use your smartphone in QuickBooks. Gosh, there was a couple other topics I can't remember now. I was just trying, anyway, we've got a whole list of little QuickBooks videos we're going to be shooting that'll go into your little library, so you won't have to pay extra for those. So anyway, guys, it's by Saturday. It's a great investment. It's a tax write-off, so check that out on the website or on the newsletter. It's right at the top there. A couple important deadlines. Again, this is the part of the show where I give you some important info that you can make note of, please, is the deadline this coming Monday, March 17th. That's March 17th, not 15th, because the 15th is on a Saturday. March 17th is the corporate tax return deadline. So if you had an S-Corp or a C-Corp from last year, you need to file your extension by the deadline, and you get 6 more months to get your books together. I write a little weekly message on this, and I shot a video. It's kind of a fun little video. I think it's pretty classy. Check that out at the newsletter, or if you're following me on my YouTube channel, I post 1 to 2 videos a week on important topics for you. They are always also linked in the newsletter, but you can follow me at YouTube. Throw a comment out there. I'd appreciate it. Maybe share it on your social media page, Google Plus or wherever the case may be, Facebook. And check that out. So important deadline. So file an extension if needs be. Watch the little video. I mentioned the form 7004. You can do it yourself. Get online. Fill out that form. Send it in. Keep a copy. You can have our office do it for you. Give us a buzz. Final deadline I just want to mention real quick is the Obamacare deadline for insurance. There's several deadlines. If you want insurance effective by April 1st, you've got to make your application by this weekend, by March 15th. To have insurance effective by April 1st and avoid the penalty this year. Or you have to apply by March 31st, your insurance would be effective May 1st, and you're okay with no penalty for the year. But if you miss this deadline, there's a good chance you will be susceptible to the $95 penalty or 1% of your adjusted gross income, whichever is greater, and you will not be able to get insurance until November. Now, there are some exceptions, new jobs, moving, having a baby, divorce, death. There's some exemptions so you can get insurance sooner, but it's kind of tricky. So I know many of you have healthcare.gov saved as a favorite on your internet browser. Get over there, check out the rules so you know what's going on. Good stuff. So anyway, gosh, I try to keep this light, keep it fun, keep it real. Thank you for those that have just joined us in the last 10 minutes. You're here with Mark Kohler, the host today of the Mark Kohler Show, and we're talking about rental property, where to buy in 2014, how to better protect yourself, how to get the maximum tax benefits. We're just going to dive knee-deep into rental property today. Where are the hot markets? Where are the cold markets? We've got some experts joining us closer to the bottom of the hour. But right now, I want to bring out the one and only, the myth, the legend, Matt Sorensen, to talk about his new article, How to Own Property by Your Self-Directed IRS.
Oh, I don't even know what a self-directed IRS is, but it doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't sound good. Little typo there.
Yeah. Hey, sorry. I did check the blog article. I do have self-directed IRAs, so somebody must have made a mistake when they put it in the newsletter. I don't know who put that together, though. So.
Yeah, whoever that idiot was, you know, he's fired. You know.
Well, welcome. I thought, you know, you're doing the rental property. I thought it was a great time to review some of the options about how you can manage rentals owned by your self-directed IRA.
Well, that's odd because you should have written a book about that.
I know.
I thought,
what can I plagiarize? Where can I pull this article out so I don't have to waste hours tonight writing this thing? So I went to my book, The Self-Directed IRA Handbook, and cut and pasted it in an article. even when I wrote the book on this section, I kept talking about, okay, how can you manage a property? And I kept going back and forth. You can do this or that, or when you're doing this, do that. And it got complicated. So I said, you know, I just need to break it up into three ways, and you're going to fit into one of these three ways, and everybody really fits in one of these three ways that you can manage a property owned by your self-directed IRA.
Well, Matt, thank you for simplifying it for us. And for those that haven't bought the book yet, we get a little snippet into Matt Sorensen's brain. So this is a treat. This is a treat here.
Yeah, and this whole chapter, you know, is for free on my website. Chapter 9, Self-Directed IRAs and Real Estate, is for free on my website. You just have to enter in your email. You get added to our newsletter, which is actually a bonus, you know. And you get Chapter 9 downloadable from my website for free. So this part is actually in Chapter 9. Want more details, obviously refer to the blog article, or like I said, go to Chapter 9, and you get a lot more info about owning rental properties with your self-directed IRA. But let me just focus on this management issue for the tip here, because what happens when you have a self-directed IRA is you got to remember, when self-directed IRAs buy investments like a rental property, you have to keep those separate from yourself personally. This isn't you owning the property. This is your IRA owning the property. And because you're a prohibited person to your IRA, under the IRS rules, you're prohibited from doing certain things with your IRA. So you have to be careful about how you manage properties that your IRA owns. So I really break it down to three different ways you can manage a rental property owned by your IRA. So let me just run through each one of these quickly. The first
Love it. Keep rolling.
All right. The first is I can manage the property directly through my IRA custodian. So when I own a property with my IRA, if I own it directly through my IRA, the IRA is on title of the property. So ABC Trust Company, FBO, Matt Sorensen's IRA, that's what's on the deed. That's where the tenant pays rent to. That's where I'm going to instruct my custodian to pay expenses from on the property. So all income and expenses are going to go through that IRA with my custodian, and I'm going to be actively involved in checking on, you know, whether incomes came in or instructing my custodian to send expenses out. Now, that can be a tedious process sometimes, so this may not be the most common way you're going to go because there's a lot of back and forth between your custodian, but it's, you know, that's option one. Option two is I just use a property manager. Same way as if I personally had a property manager, or my LLC has a property manager on my rentals, the property manager receives the income, they can pay expenses, and when they return money back to my IRA, the property manager will send the rent back to my self-directed IRA. So the property manager kind of comes in as a third party in the middle, kind of handling typical property management duties, receiving income, paying bills, having people fix things, stuff like that.
And when you say they send money back to the IRA, they're sending money back to the custodian.
Correct, yeah. So you don't get any money yet. You know, I mean, you have to take a distribution from your IRA to get any money. But the property manager will send any of the income back to the custodian for the benefit of your IRA.
Okay.
Now, and obviously there's costs involved with the property manager. Now, third option is doing an IRA LLC. Under the IRA LLC, rather than your IRA owning a property, your IRA owns 100% typically, and there's different ways you can structure this. There's other partnership options, but to keep it simple here, the most common way is IRA owns an LLC 100%. The IRA owner is the manager of the LLC. You don't have any ownership in the LLC. The IRA owns the LLC 100%. LLC, in turn, owns the real estate, owns the rental property. Now when the tenant pays rent, they pay it to the LLC. When there's expenses on the property, you as the IRA owner are manager of the LLC, so you can sign on checks to pay expenses. So similar to you having your own LLC for a property you personally own, the LLC owns the real estate, the LLC receives rent, the LLC pays the expenses. Now, when this with the self-directed IRA involved, you have to be very careful in that structure to make sure you understand how to operate it properly and that it's set up properly so that you don't engage in a prohibited transaction. But the IRLC is a great structure because it does give you a little more control to administer the investment and take care of the rental property. Plus, there's some liability protection if something goes wrong on the property. But those are your three options. It really breaks down. You're going to typically do one of those three. I can't think of, frankly, another way to do it. But those are your three options if you're going to own rental real estate in your self-directed IRA.
Okay. Love it. Very straightforward, Matt. I think that's a great way to organize it. Three options. It keeps it simple. And I was just last night speaking on the Renatus conference call, which we've got the CEO and founder of Renatus later on the show here today, Bob Snyder, joining us. But we were talking about self-directing and the Mitt Romney strategy, shifting more rentals and more real estate into our IRAs and finding a balance. I think it's important we tell people you don't want to put all your rentals in your IRA and you don't want to hold all your rentals in your own name. Find a balance between the two as you build your portfolio.
Yeah.
So, well, Matt, thank you so much for finding a few minutes with us here. And how do people get your book if they haven't got it yet?
Yeah, you can just go to my website, sdirahandbook.com. There's lots of free articles. Again, there's Chapter 9, which is for free self-directed IRAs in real estate. If you just want to kind of, you know, get a little bit of education for free, check out the website. The book's $20. You can get it on my website, or you can also find it on amazon.com. It's in a paperback format. It is also available in the Kindle ebook format. If you just want to download it to your Kindle, that's $9.
Okay, SDIRA, SD, standing for self-directed IRA handbook.com. Matt, thanks so much for finding a few minutes with us today.
Always a pleasure, Mark.
Well, I want to take the lead here, if I could, for a few minutes before we have our first guest and give the tax tip of the week and share a couple points here quickly. And then we're going to bring on our first guest. I'm going to bring them out chronologically here. We've got two guests with us today that have very specialized expertise around the country helping investors. So we're going to work through that today. I'm really excited about it. But first, if I may, every week we share a legal tip and a tax tip. I want to share the tax tip here. I just literally stepped out of a meeting at 10 a.m. this morning. We're broadcasting live at 11 a.m. every Tuesday. So at 10 a.m. I had a meeting here for a few minutes with a client that was dropping off some of their tax info. And he had five rental properties for last year. And the main question we had was, how can I maximize my write-offs for my rentals for last year? And so I thought I might share this concept or what our conversation entailed a little bit so that all of you can benefit from it as well. So he paid the bill for all of you to enjoy this little tip. So, no, I'm just joking. So here's a couple of the points we've made together. Number one, I had him create because he hadn't really – he'd launched his LLC last year, and he had his books in order generally, but no bank account really functioning or QuickBooks yet. That's his goal this year, is to really get his books organized, get QuickBooks, and start using the LLC bank account. But last year he was kind of in limbo. He had acquired three or four of the properties, so things were a little crazy. So what I said to him, and this is what I would encourage all of you to do as well, is at least have an Excel spreadsheet. Take your rentals for last year, put them in column, and then come up with every expense you can think of that's specific to each property. Interest, property taxes, HOA fees, property management fees, repairs, maintenance. Think of any expense that's directly to those properties. If they went through a credit card, if they went through a courier pigeon, if they went through checks, if they went through cash, your debit card, your wife's card, your husband's card, I don't care. Think of any expense you paid for. Create a file for each rental. Throw the receipts in there. But just on this Excel spreadsheet, summarize them for us, your accountant. Make it easy on us. It'll save you money in the tax prep phase. And then think of any general expenses that we could spread out over all your rentals. Internet, cell phones, home office, travel, dining, entertainment, auto mileage, anything that you can think of that would be equipment or supplies to support your overall rental business, divide by the number of rentals and spread it out amongst the columns. This will make your rental properties look more well-balanced and your tax return look more well-balanced and less chance of an audit as well. And again, I don't care what you use to pay for those expenses, and even if they're like auto mileage, where there really wasn't a check that left your hand, we just have auto mileage per se, let's book it. So there's my tax tip today. Please, for last year, maximize those write-offs for your rentals. And if you're not a real estate professional or you're a day job W-2 wage earner, that's okay. Those losses, even if you don't get them entirely for last year, we're going to carry them forward and a forward and forward and forward when you're going to use them when you sell any of those properties. So life will be good, ultimately, with all those write-offs. So don't give up on them. Take them. It's going to be good. In preparation for my first guest, I want to share one last point. At 9 a.m. this morning, I had a call with a client, wonderful client, from across the country. And it was a fun conversation, but she said something at the end of the call, and I asked her if I could share it here on the show. I won't share her name. I almost asked her to come out on the show and share a testimonial, and she's like, well, Mark. Here's what she said at the end of our call, and she said, this is her exact words. She went with this big sigh. She goes, Mark, we've got 4 rental properties now. I just wish 20 years ago my husband and I started buying rentals. Oh, where we would be now if we would have caught the vision 20 years ago. And there was just silence on the phone. And then she said, but oh well, life's good. We've learned it now, and we're moving full steam ahead. My wonderful listeners today, for those that are listening today live or on a podcast later, I cannot emphasize enough the importance of just getting started in any sort of investing, even if it's saving just a few dollars in an IRA. Savings in general is obviously a smart move, but catching the vision of rental real estate is so powerful. So with that said, I want to bring out our first guest, a regular on the show. He's been here with us 2 or 3 times. Just an icon in the brokerage world. This is Jason Hartman. He's been involved in several thousand real estate transactions. He's got multiple assistants and agents around the country that help him. He's owned properties in 11 states and 17 cities. He is the founder and CEO of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Hartman Media Company. I can go on and on. And ladies, we'll have to confirm here if he's available, but this guy is one of the most eligible bachelors in America. He may not appreciate that I said that. Don't hang up, Jason. We're glad you're here. I just am so impressed with Jason. He holds a couple workshops throughout the year for his investors, and he also writes a book every year on the hottest markets and the coldest markets in America. So Jason Hartman, our kind of nationwide broker, we wanted to talk with him first today. Just a good friend. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark. Thank you so much. And that was a very unique introduction. I hope that I will not be single much longer.
Well, there is going to be a lucky lady out there. So we won't focus on your dating life.
I might be the lucky guy. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But, you know, someone told me a long time ago, he said, you know, you gotta treat girls just like real estate, you know, see if you can buy the property. And this guy was actually telling me, you know, Jason, some of the best properties are not yet on the market. I won't touch that one, but you know,
yeah, that's true.
I bring it up because it's kind of funny.
We don't want to trespass on someone else's property. There we go.
No trespassing.
Legal term,
yeah.
No
yeah.
trespassing.
But, oh wow. But still advertising, possibly.
Yeah, we're advertising. We're waiting to see what's going to come out on the MLS.
Exactly.
Well, Jason, so welcome back. So glad to have you on the show. I know that you write an annual report with some of the markets that you are on your hot list, your cold list. How's the investing going? Are people still buying rentals in America today?
Oh, most certainly, Mark. I mean, the past couple of years have been nothing short of phenomenal. Of course, I love the typical promoter. There's never been a better time to invest than today. Well, sure there was. 2 years ago was better than today.
But, yeah. It's always better.
Have a lot
yeah.
more, Yeah, of course. You had to have a lot more confidence 2 or 3 years ago because that, you know, that things look a lot more bleak back then. But, you know, I'll just give you an example of a couple of our markets, Mark. Atlanta, Georgia has been a perennial market that we've liked for years. And last year it was up 16%. But again, as I'm talking about these appreciation statistics, I do want to say, and, you know, your listeners that know me and have heard me talk on the show before and might listen to my podcast, they know that I'm not about appreciation. I'm far too conservative an investor to be a speculator or a gambler that thinks even about appreciation, but it is very nice icing on the cake when you can get it. And so last year, Atlanta, a market we like quite a bit, up 16%, and that's a cash flow market, okay? So, you know, you get cash flow plus that appreciation, and it really does phenomenal things. Houston, another
Jason,
market we really like.
Oh, Jason, if I could interject, before you mention another city or area, why don't you just take 2 seconds and explain how you analyze your markets. I know that you use a variety of factors. You alluded to there for a moment that it's not just about appreciation. What are you looking for in a market, and what should investors, as we kind of throw out some of our hot markets, what do you look for in a good market?
Well, the first thing, you know, we really look for in any property or market is cash flow. We've got to have cash flow because cash flow market is pretty reliable. Appreciation is not reliable. It's speculation. It's gambling. But, you know, we look for good fundamentals. You know, where are the jobs? We don't like vacation markets. We don't like speculative markets that operate on bubbles and have big highs and big lows. Those are called the cyclical markets. We like those linear markets that just sort of chug away and produce great income with, you know, very conservative year-around rentals that are cash flow oriented. You know, there are people out there talking about investing in vacation properties and, you know, resort properties and properties in Belize and other countries. And, you know, we've looked at all of that stuff intensively, and we just don't like it. We just like the standard, basic, below the median price in a given area type of housing. We generally like areas that are politically leaning to the right, not the left. Because the left-leaning places like Michigan are, you know, people are leaving, jobs are leaving, they're business unfriendly. So we don't like places like that. We like places that are business friendly because that means job growth. And it also means landlord friendly. You know, when you look at a market like California, and of course that's a huge state, it's my home state where I've lived almost all of my life until 2.5 years ago when I moved to Phoenix. But there, the cash flow doesn't work. You know, the political environment is very much leaning to the left. And so you have a very landlord-unfriendly environment. You know, people can, if a tenant, what we call a professional tenant or a professional squatter, you know, they know how to play the game in places like California. And they know that, you know, they have so many rights. And judges just rule in their favor all the time, you know. They could sit in your house for months and months and months and just really hurt you as an investor. So we like landlord-friendly markets, places that are friendly to our cause as landlords, where if you get a bad apple, which, you know, occasionally you do once in a while, you can kick them out and you can collect from them if they owe you money when they move,
Well, and Jason, you and I have talked about this before, that anybody can find a rental in, if they work and look hard enough in their local area, they may have the savviness and the resources to make a local rental work, and you may force yourself into some rentals that could definitely be profitable. We certainly, both of us, have clients that have profitable rentals in California and some of these tougher markets. But in general, again, we're going to see these law of averages, and I love how you have repeated that over and over again, that if you're going to build a rental pool and build a relationship with a property manager and really able to leverage yourself, you may buy some rentals locally, but ultimately you're going to want to end up in one of these markets where you can build a portfolio. What are your thoughts about that?
That's a great That's a great question, Mark. And you know, my fundamental teaching, which I talk about on my podcast, The Creating Wealth Show, all the time, is called the Ten Commandments of Successful Investing. And, you know, one of them is thou shalt diversify. Another is thou shalt be area agnostic. And those are slightly different. So, you know, even if someone lived in the best city in which to invest, if you live in a place like Atlanta, Houston, Memphis, you know, places like this that are conservative markets with, you know, with employment for your tenants and so forth, okay? If you lived in one of those places, you wouldn't want to build an entire portfolio of rental properties just in that one place because all your eggs would be in one basket. You know, Dale Carnegie has a great quote, and he said, you know, put all your eggs in one basket and watch that basket. So here's what I say. You know, put most of your eggs or almost all of your eggs in the income property basket. However, diversify geographically within the income property basket, because the old saying in real estate is all real estate is local, okay? And so, you know, you can diversify geographically, and you want to be in three different markets. There is no such thing as a national housing market in a country as large and diverse as the United States of America. What there really are, Mark, is there are about 400 local markets. And that's what you've got to look at. And all of those markets have very different characteristics. You know, if you're talking about a small country in, say, Europe, okay, like let's take Luxembourg, for example. I remember on one trip to Europe that I had, I drove through Luxembourg, you know, in the middle of the day, like an entire country. There it goes. And, you know, that has a national housing market, sure. We don't. We have 400 local markets in the United States, and they act very differently. So when a market like the high-flying markets like California or New York or South Florida, when those are down in the dumps, markets that are the linear markets may be doing very well. But over time, in those cyclical high-flying markets that get a lot of media attention, those markets you may have some good years where you have really nice appreciation. You'll never have cash flow. Cash flow in these markets just never works. And it never works from a rent-to-value perspective. Now, you may think you have cash flow, and you may think you have a good investment because you've got a lot of equity tied up in the property. But that equity represents an opportunity cost because you could put that equity to work in something else. Strictly look at rent to value, and our ideal is we want to see you get 1% per month or better. So if the property is a $100,000 property, we want it to rent for $1,000 a month and have 1 month vacancy per year or an 8% vacancy rate. That's a good target. Now, in California, you know, you'd buy a $600,000 property, and it will only rent for maybe, you know, $2,200 per month, not $6,000 per month. So if I deploy $600,000, I want to get $6,000 per month. Okay, I don't want to get $2,300. And you know, you can find that holds true, oddly, all over the planet. I've looked at real estate in many of the markets and many of the countries that I've visited. I've traveled to 71 countries now. And I tell you something, Mark, it's unbelievable how infallible this rule is. When you look at the higher priced properties in any city, and it's all relative to that city worldwide and nationwide, you know, it just doesn't make sense to own them. It's much better to own a lot of lower priced properties that someone will rent for at least 1% per month.
Wow. Well, excellent concepts. And I wanted to develop that. I know some of you on the show are just dying to make some notes as to where these hot spots, cold spots, but I wanted to get those your general wisdom on this topic is just phenomenal, Jason. I love it. Well, I just could sit here at your feet and just listen to this time and time again. Let's get back to the list of the. Of course, you isolated some of the markets you don't like, the sexy high-flying markets, the big city markets, South Miami, mm-hmm. New York, California. Those are tough. You like Atlanta. Tell us some of the areas that you would recommend people look hard at.
You know, there are several, and we've done business now over the last 10 years in, and you know, we have thousands of clients that are buying properties all over the country. And so we really get to see these markets. It's just a wonderful opportunity. And, you know, if you go to jasonhartman.com/properties, you can see a lot of the markets we like. But, you know, I mentioned Atlanta. I mentioned Memphis, which is like the logistics capital of the country. You know, Indianapolis has been a perennial favorite. Very nice cash flow market. Houston is very good. You know, generally speaking, I like Texas in general, okay? Birmingham, Alabama has been quite good for us lately. Little Rock, Arkansas. Kansas City, Missouri, and you know, there are several others, but I would say that those would be my prime favorites right now. You know, we've done business in Boise, Idaho, Denver, Colorado, Salt Lake City, Utah. All of those really too expensive. They don't work very well. We've done lots and lots of business in Phoenix over the years, Austin, Texas. Again, you know, these markets change, and that's one of the reasons you need to be area agnostic. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you know, it means if you have a property in that market and that property is stabilized, it, you know, I believe in the long-term buy and hold strategy, because over the 20 plus years I've been in the real estate business now, I've noticed from watching my clients that the people who are into flipping and the quick buck, you know, they have spending money. If it works, you know, they make a quick buck, and that's great. I mean, no one's going to complain about that. But the people who buy and hold are the people that have real wealth, real long-term wealth, and they get the best tax benefits too. So you know, we don't recommend, if you're being area agnostic and following my 10 commandments of successful investing, that you sell a property in, say, Charlotte, North Carolina, another market we've done a lot of business in over the years, because it's stabilized and it's a good rental. But sometimes a market gets sort of popular, as Charlotte has in the past, and we will stop recommending it because too many new investors are coming in there buying properties, and they're putting too many rental properties on the market, making it difficult to compete for tenants. And we don't like that. You know, if you already own a property in there, fine and dandy. You know, you've got a stabilized property. Just sit tight and create wealth. But it doesn't mean you should necessarily go into the market and enter the market at a given time. And so this is what my company, Platinum Properties Investor Network, is always doing. We're constantly looking at these markets, and we're analyzing them, we're evaluating them. And you asked earlier, Mark, about the most important sources for information. And, you know, we use a lot of sources, but I'll tell you the best one. It's what we call the ground troops, the people on the ground that are living in that market every single day, what we call our local market specialists, and the property managers. And that may be the same person or company, or it may not. It depends. It's different in each market. But these people, you know, they're just dealing with it every day. And so we're constantly getting feedback from them pretty much every business day of the year. And that's just invaluable.
I love it. Jason, phenomenal. Yeah. I know that you stepped away from another engagement to be with us today. We surely appreciate it. This has been invaluable. I just want to mention I went to jasonhartman.com, of course, in advance of our call several times over the last couple of days. And just while we were talking, I went to jasonhartman.com properties, went to Indianapolis. I've got basic information on Indianapolis right there in front of me and looking at properties immediately. So Jason Hartman, that's HARTMAN.com, huge resource. And Jason, we love what you're doing. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Hey, Mark, thanks for having me on. And, you know, as I was waiting to come on, I was listening to your show, and I heard Matt Sorensen who is actually my attorney at your firm, and he does a great job. I just wanted to give a plug to KKOS and their staff. In your Utah office, Holly manages a lot of my corporate books and annual reporting and compliance and so forth for different entities and LLCs that I have, and she's just phenomenal, and Matt does a phenomenal job, and, of course, the big kahuna, Mark Kohler, you do a great job, too, so keep up the good work, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Oh, Jason, thank you for that plug, and we, again, have, I've never sent a client, and I want to give you a plug here, and I wouldn't have you on the show if I didn't believe this, and it's been the case. Folks, I've never sent a client to Jason's organization and had them come back to me with a frustration or complaint or being dissatisfied. I know you guys bend over backwards, and there's bumps in the road whenever you invest in property, but your organization is phenomenal. Jason, thanks for being with us again. I truly appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mark. Happy investing to you and your listeners.
Thank you. All right. Well, just a wealth of information, isn't he, folks? It's so nice to have Jason on a regular basis. Now, on to our next incredible guest, our first-time guest here on the show. I don't know why it's taken this long for me to invite him out. I've told him he is the grand finale today. It's such an honor to have him with us. This is Bob Snyder, CEO of Renatus. It's the online real estate education system that is just blowing up across the country, and I loved how Jason just said a moment ago that it's people on the ground that give him the best feedback on the areas, the properties, what they should be investing in and looking at, and Bob Snyder is out there with his students around the country doing real estate in local markets with local meetings every week. And so I couldn't think of a better person to give us that local perspective around the country on the hot markets and the cold markets. So without any further ado, Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark, I'm glad I'm here. And you know what? I really enjoyed that last segment because so much of what Jason shared with everybody, really is it kind of lays the foundation for our discussion and what we can talk about for the next few minutes here.
Oh, I agree, because the education aspect is so critical in that those perspectives. And I know that all you do is eat, breathe, and sleep education. Before we jump into your hot markets for a moment, tell us, if you wouldn't mind, a little bit about your educators that are teaching on this and what in your background as to why you have a national perspective as well. Many people may not think that, but you're thinking not globally, but at least nationally every day.
Well, we do, and I talk to our investors all across the country every day, and it's interesting. Renatus is an educational company, and what we've done is pretty unique because, the way we build our educational platform to offer our classes online is really, user-friendly to the student. But then we take it a step further and we build local communities of investors that get together and meet together on a regular basis. If there's not an investor community in a particular market, then they do it via webinars and conference calls every week. But it keeps the nation connected, and it keeps our students engaged with investors from all walks of life, some folks that have got 20 to 30 years of investing experience, some folks that are brand spanking new, just stepping into the community, but they kind of link arm in arm to help and assist and answer questions for each other. And it's a phenomenal culture that we've created in the company. And then you take that and you marry that together with 18 practitioner instructors. And when I say practitioner, Mark, you know what I'm talking about because you're one of those practitioner instructors.
That's true. That disclosure was going to come out here in a moment, folks. I think
that's right.
Before you go on, let me at least interject that I think one of the reasons why I've held off having Bob on the show is there's been this conflict of interest that I'm like, well, I'm one of his instructors. I don't want this to turn into a, Edified Mark show or whatever. But No, I've been an instructor with Renatus since the inception, and it's been such an honor. I'm teaching tax and legal concepts to your students. But I go to the workshops, and I can't wait to get online and listen to these other 17 instructors because this is what they're focusing on is where to buy real estate.
Well, and they do and everything else. And you know what? Here's what I would like to do because I know our time is short, Mark, and Jason did a phenomenal job laying out some basic building blocks that I believe everyone should incorporate, because long-term buy and hold real estate is absolutely the way to wealth. But I almost think we need to back up a little bit, because I know that your listening audience is very diverse. And let me just help everybody understand that there's a formula for success in real estate. First and foremost, if someone wants to move into the world of owning rental properties, they need to have an income stream outside of their rental pool. Because you're going to have deficiencies at times. You're going to have months where the property goes vacant, or you're going to have a water heater that goes out, or a roof that needs to be repaired. So you've got to have resources and a source of income outside of your rental properties as you first get into the game. We tell our students all the time, listen, if you are just getting into real estate, you're struggling to pay the bills and make things happen, and you're getting into this so that you can generate income, then you need to be in the fix and flip market. You need to be buying properties, fixing them up, moving them into the retail market so that you can develop nice lump sum cash returns to build your reserves. Now it's time for you to move into and step into the wonderful world of being a landlord. Now, I own a lot of properties, and I own properties. Oh, go ahead, Mark.
No, I just wanted to reiterate your first point here. I think that's a really critical one, because it's going to take a while before rental real estate could supplant many people's primary source of income. And they need to realize that that's the retirement goal, is that once I can supplement my retirement with 401ks, pensions, Social Security, IRAs, sale of a business, whatever, that's going to work hand in hand with a rental portfolio. It's not like you're going to start buying rentals tomorrow and quit your job. Rentals is I really love that perspective. That's a great point, Bob.
Well, it helps, and I love what you said earlier when you were talking about your client who was in with, I think, 5 rental properties, and you were saying, boy, we just started this 20 years ago. I have never, ever met a seasoned real estate investor who got to the end of their investing career who ever said, I wish I'd have bought less. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. No. I'm building my wealth, and I'm building generational wealth through my rental properties. But guess what? If I have the opportunity to find a good deal and to fix that property up and sell it into the retail market and make $20,000 or $30,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 on a transaction, by dang, I'm going to do it. And then that gives me more reserve and more resource to go out and find more rental properties. The other thing about rental properties that folks need to understand is that, you know, if you're working with traditional banks and lenders, you're going to be limited in the number of properties that you can acquire. You know, they're going to cap you at about 10. The way that, you know, the lending products
and
are
that's
structured
if you're lucky.
Right now. Yeah, that's if you've really got, you got great financials, you got solid credit scores, you got plenty of reserves. Yeah, that's if you're lucky. So what we do in Renatus is we really work with our students to teach them all sorts of creative ways to go out there and find and acquire property, whether it's for the short term or the long term. So you've got to be looking beyond traditional banks and lenders. If you're tied to them, then you're going to be very limited in the amount of deals that you can do, or the structure of those deals and how they can benefit you long term. The other thing is,
before you go to your next, if I could interject, I apologize. Before you
go,
you
go right ahead, because once I get started, I just kind of roll, because I'm looking at the clock here and I want to get in as much as I can get in.
Well, no, this is good. I do. I want to get. Let's break up this interview a little bit, and I want to get back to some of those conceptual ground rules, if you will, to buying rentals. You've hit a couple there that are just critical. Let's break it up here a little bit for those that are dying to hear some of your hot spots and your cold spots. Maybe let's start with the inverse. What are some areas, I know you've got this research handy, I mean, you're talking with people every day about it, but what are some markets that scare you away right now? And then we'll come back to your hot choices, but what are some markets that you're not seeing your Renatus students invest in, and that you yourself are a little apprehensive of going, and why, maybe, if you don't mind?
Well, not a problem. Here's something you got to understand. Our students are all over the country, and our students make money in every single market. But their strategy for making money may be very different. You know, you talked earlier, and Jason was talking earlier about California. Well, there are areas of California that you can invest in and you can create cash flow, but, you know, they're more limited. Certainly nothing along the coast in the larger markets, those are much more of an opportunity for people to make a quick turn on a real estate transaction. They're not going to be able to generate money from cash flow because yes. the price of real estate is just too doggone high, and there's no way they can pull the rents out of there. Now, if you go to the Midwest, you know, he mentioned Indianapolis. We've got a great group in Indianapolis. We've got good people in Wisconsin. You know, in the Midwest, heavens, you can buy properties literally for $35,000 to $50,000, and those properties will cash flow all day long. But if you're ever looking to gain any kind of appreciable equity out of those properties, think again, there's a trade-off. I mean, there's definitely a trade-off. So it depends on the investing strategy. You know, Salt Lake, listen, I'm finding properties. I live here in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm finding properties that are good properties that I can cash flow as long as I get the right rates and the right terms on the property. Boise, Idaho, we've got investors up there that are just flat killing it in the fix and flip market. And, you know, and they're enjoying some great things. So every market has a strategy that will work. But when it comes to rentals, well, you want to make sure that you are in a market that has huge upside potential but hasn't really recovered. In other words, they haven't seen much appreciation while the rest of the country is moving on. Now, mind you, there's about 90% of the country that still has a long ways to go in terms of appreciation just to get back to where we were at 2007 levels. But
no.
look
yeah.
for markets that have got good growth. Look for markets that you can go into your state. You know, Economic Board pulled some of the numbers down and say, all right, where are we going to go? What's the projection on growth in these different cities and these different markets? You know, where are those jobs going to come from? Because job growth is a leading indicator as to housing needs. Now, a lot of folks will say, well, it really is more about household formations than anything else, and that's true. But household formations, it's a difficult thing to quantify. Let me tell you what you can put a number on because the numbers are tracked, and that is that typically there's about 1.2 jobs per household, 1.2 jobs per household. And if you've got that kind of a formula, then you can go into different markets and you can say, hey, where are we at right now? Do you know in Chicago right now, it's 6.9 jobs per household? Now,
wow.
Mark, think about that. Talk about a leading economic indicator. If the average is 1.2, Chicago is at 6.9, what does that tell you about the demand for housing in that market?
Yeah, phenomenal, which could have good and bad consequences. If you can find a gem in the rough, the cash flow mm-hmm. could be phenomenal. Otherwise, you're going to see really high appreciation. And
you are.
That's probably what, yeah. And I like what you said of the areas to stay away from or that are going to be more challenging for rentals. And I love, you know, Renatus is teaching every possible real estate strategy. But hyper-focusing on that rental aspect, I think you made a great point that anywhere near the ocean, Jason didn't say it that way earlier, but that's uh-huh. really the case. When you're in these Sunbelt cities, in the ocean coast cities, you're going to have a little harder time because of the high demand for real estate, the high appreciation, and it's going to be the equity requirement to get into a property, it's going to be hard to get a good ROI or return on your investment. So I really like that point. And Bob, even from Seattle down to San Diego, we have clients that really struggle finding rentals on the coast, but they just move in two or three states. There's people starving for good rentals.
There are, and there are good rentals to be had as well, which is, you know, part of the trade-off here. So you move more and more towards the Midwest, you're going to find that your cash flows are stronger. Appreciation may not be, but your cash flows are stronger. You moved out to the coastline areas or to, you know, nicer climates, and you're going to find that your cash flows go down or are non-existent, but your opportunity for appreciation rise. So for individuals who really want to build their rental pool, what they've got to do is they've got to focus on markets that have good upside potential for job growth, that there is a constant demand there, because you never want to be in a market that is seeing a decline in population. That's the kiss of death. But if they're seeing that, then there's going to be a demand for housing. And that demand for housing creates an opportunity.
I love it. And I want to throw kind of a unique question at you here. And I know you've got courses on this topic in your curriculum. And so I know I'm confident that you'll be able to respond on this intelligently. Jason talked about being geographically agnostic. And I know that there's many, many listeners on the show today that are saying, Mark, it is so scary to go buy properties 10 states away. I was just in Hawaii over the weekend doing a workshop, and people talk about feeling like you're on an island and trying to buy property in the mainland. You know, that's very concerning for people. They're like, how can I manage a property in Indianapolis when I live on the South Shore of Hawaii? That doesn't make sense to me. So you have courses on, I love the title of your course, How to Manage Your Property Manager. Could you talk to us about maybe some concepts of, hey, if you do have properties across the country, it's doable. And if you maybe a couple tips, two or three points that you'd make, Bob, to help the person feel a little more comfortable in a conversation like this when they might be buying rentals 2,000 miles away.
Well, and that's a great point, because it takes a little time to get a level of comfort, especially with a property that is 2,000 miles away. And listen, I own property in different states, and I've had properties, you know, across the country. And if you've got a really good property management company, you don't have a lot to worry about. They take, they keep an eye on your property. They take care of what's going on. Certainly, they're going to exact their fees for any repairs or fix-ups or for putting new tenants in the property. But it can be a fairly smooth operation. Getting a level of comfort with it is a different thing. And one of the things we advise with folks is if they live in a market where they can cash flow a property, they should buy properties where they live, and they ought to self-manage those properties, at least initially, so that, you know, they get to three or four or five properties, they're managing their own portfolio. And part of the reason why is because there's no better teacher than experience. Now, we teach a lot of great things in class, but one of the best things a person can do is buy property and manage their own property before they go big and before they go national, because now they will come to understand how to manage the property managers. They'll know when they're dealing with somebody who is competent and responsible versus someone who's blowing smoke and taking advantage of them, because property management companies are varied at their ethics. Their systems, their tools, their knowledge are all varied, and you got to know you're dealing with a good one, because if you get a bad one, they can upset the apple cart, to say the least. So if you're going to own properties at a distance, then you got to make sure that you understand how to manage your property managers. It's not managing your properties, because that's their job. It's managing your property managers. You get the knowledge, you get the network established around you so you can ask good advice, you know how to do your own market research, and you've had enough experience by then to know if somebody's blowing smoke. But I never advise someone to just say, hey, go grab four properties in Atlanta, go get three in Memphis, go grab a few more down in Orlando. Texas is a hot market right now, so why don't you get a few more down there? That will come. Initially, I always tell folks, If at all possible, invest where you live, and then you can take over the country.
No, that's a great point. And I think the one word I want to mention on this whole process of managing your property manager, and we've had a radio show just on that topic alone, but it's the accountability, making sure that you're engaged. Whenever I hear the word turnkey property, I always get nervous. And we want to be careful that we are engaged. Turnkey can mean a lot of different things, but being involved. So I think very important. So Bob, here in our last minute or so, please tell people how they can learn more about you and the company. Give us your website so that people can go visit and look at this education.
No, I certainly appreciate that, Mark. Heavens, you know, it's easy to learn about us. All you need to do is go to our website. It's www.myrenatus.com. Now, you spell Renatus, R-E-N-A-T-U-S, myrenatus.com. And that'll give you some perspective. Heavens, you'll even see some pictures on there of Mark Kohler teaching in class. And and some of the great things that he's done. So we've got 18 instructors, 36 different classes. Curriculums that run from a year to 2 years. If it's about residential real estate, we teach it, and we show people exactly what to do, how to do it, what to stay away from, and how to maximize their potential for profits as they go forward. And I'll tell you the first lesson they learn in real estate, and I just want to leave your listeners with this thought, is this.
Okay, we got 30 seconds.
Never, ever, never, ever allow someone else to determine the value of your property, especially the seller. You got to do your own research.
Oh, I love it. Bob, great comment. Folks, check out myrenatus.com. And thank you, Bob. And thanks to all of you, our listeners here today. We hope that information has been helpful. And we'll catch you next week on another show at 11 a.m. Pacific, The Mark Kohler Show.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.